Good evening. Welcome and thank you for being here at the end of the afternoon. The reason we have Zen music playing, very soothing music to enable you to swallow figures. This is a traditional analyst meeting. That's my sixth meeting. It may not be the last. We'll see about that. In any event, together with Philippe Denry, we'll go over operations in 2012, but I will also give you an overview of the outlook for the medium and short term, because of course 2013 is starting on challenging grounds, but we have good reason to be optimistic for the future. Now, let's start with the performance in 2012. You're familiar with our financial performance because you have received our press release, and even though the beginning of the year was turbulent, there were some significant TV events such as the presidential elections, the general elections, but also the Olympic Games in early 2012, and in spite of what was a poor economic context, and again a turbulent economic context, we were able to reach a target that is a stable revenue and profitability at about 10%. We were able to achieve this target in spite of a persistent crisis throughout the year. Now, the important factor here, and we'll reiterate this during the meeting, we knew that we might be in trouble because of the price war being waged in the audiovisual market, and that is the reason why we developed other businesses which were able to take over in terms of growth, and it did work out because in spite of lower revenue of the channel itself, the overall revenue remained stable. Now, advertising is the main source of income, and you should remember that, of course, the economic context has direct effects on the advertising market. You can see that, GDP or household consumption is down. There's strong competition with 25 channels, and of course, not just other TV channels, but other media as well. There's price pressure coming from advertisers, and then supply is greater than demand. This is something we have found for several years running now, ever since DTT has acquired a 24 to 25% audience share, with ensuing an inevitable price pressure. We have to try and resist that pressure, but it is true that the TV revenue was down in the first half, and there was it was difficult to bring it up in the second half. So these were challenging times, not just in terms of performances, but even for the revenue of some of the channels, it was not an easy matter. Regarding TF1 proper, well, it is has not escaped completely unscathed. Revenue was down from one quarter to the next. The fourth quarter was slightly better, but that was a consequence of a successful programming strategy, and of course ratings have been going up. Our advertising income was under pressure. You can see all in all that you're looking at a 6.7% drop down to 1.4 billion, about 100 million we lost in terms of advertising revenue. Now, as a trade-off, you can see that we had advertising in other media to such an extent that we were able to almost make up for the loss of advertising revenue on the channels. You have the theme channels in France. You also have strong growth on the internet. Eurosport International, even better than expected, plus radio stations and Metro Free newspaper. So that means we're only down 2.5% at 1.775 billion, which means that all in all, these other businesses, which did not exist back in 2007, to some extent compensated for the degradation in revenue on the channel and price pressures on the TV advertising industry, especially with the advent of new channels. So that is a significant asset for the future. Now, we also mentioned the big challenges for 2012. You may remember at the time we wanted to create new value. The market did not make it possible completely to recoup lost value, but the advertising agency was able to make headway in its offer to customers, and that enhanced offer is a significant help for our future developments. You know that we have integrated media, or rather internalized media planning, MPI, which makes it possible to have a better visibility on our stock of advertising time. We have La Place Media, that is a bidding system for unsold advertising space, and you have as many as 80 sites and 500 advertisers that have taken part. We've created new indicators. You're all familiar with GRP QB, which measures up TF1's GRPs, which are the most relevant in terms of consumer behavior. But we also were pioneers by creating a new targeting audience, shoppers. Now, that target, of course, usually you have people with an income under 25 or with children. It's not used for TV ratings, but we do believe that French society has evolved, and in that development there's a deep mutation in consumption habits and who makes purchasing decisions. And in terms of purchasing power, you're looking at people who are better off, but there is it's not just women in charge of purchases. Men, to the tune of 35%, do make the purchasing decisions for the home. But you're also looking at households that still have children, indeed sometimes grown children, living at home, and they are also prescribers of purchases as well as consumers themselves. So we have an over-equipped target, people very enthusiastic about new technologies and other promising industries, and so this is a strategic target, including on food. Now, we also decided to improve segmentation in target in advertising prices to make rates attractive during the day when the ratings are lower, to attract in new advertisers. Now, the other big chapter was synergies that we were able to develop. As you may know, the TF1 advertising agency was only in charge of the TF1 itself and the theme channels, but with HD1 and number 23, we are now in a position to enter the universe of DTT, and in the months to come, we expect to provide additional arguments to convince advertisers to advertise with us. TNT and T1 still work, TNT and T1 works under their own advertising agency, and of course you can imagine that we are trying to work strategies or synergies between the two, but they are separate advertising agencies under an agreement with the competition authority. We have theme channels with which we work, Boeing for children, and we have other commercial synergies with BN Sport. Digital will drawing into new forms of advertising. And in terms of diversification, we have the free newspaper Metro. You can see synergies there. And a Metro, a radio station, MFM Radio, was also a major source of synergy with a new media. And the third, but last but not least, we look for new opportunities, and in terms of innovative approaches on what we call the second second screen, that is, as opposed to radio, you could have on your computer, on your mobile phone, you can have MyTF1 Connect, Shazam, and other applications or screens that you can find on another device. And also, we developed a new product channels. We have one with Yves Rocher, so specialized channels under a brand. So in what are really turbulent times, it is important to be innovative, because this, in a way, makes path, opens the way to the future, and especially has produced a sort of more attractive offer to advertisers. Now, ratings, we have all sorts of things being said about ratings. For the first few months of the year, we were supposed to, we were deemed to be dead. That was the end of news bulletins, and that was the end of TF1. And you can see that there's nothing can be said for sure in this business, and the proof is that we were right there. Now, during elections, well, during the American elections, advertisers did not advertise very much. In terms of ratings, well, it doesn't help us very much to have high ratings in political events, and when Olympic Games can be watched 24 hours a day on the public service TV, well, how can you compete with that? How can you expect to have high ratings? So, of course, that plus Roland Garros, the French Open and the Tour de France, that made things tough for us in the first half of the year. So these were difficult times, well, challenging, put it this way. Still, we're way ahead of leading channels in Europe, but and M6 did all right, fair enough, as high as 12.3 in the Euro Football Championship, but as early as September we were able to make up for lost ground, and it was greatly satisfying to renew with high ratings. Now, you might ask, how come we were able to improve ratings? Well, Jean-François Lancelier's teams were audacious. They knew channels, or they tried something new. As many as 25 new programs, out of which 18 were highly successful, and so these are programs that are here to stay. And so we're looking at more than a 70% success rate, and if you look at what the competition did in the meantime, A, they started out fewer novelties, and the success rate was much lower, less than 40%. So we were able, we met the challenge, and especially on all slots, including prime time, for drama as well as entertainment, access, or indeed afternoon or morning. Now our programs are very sound, our content are good at all times of the day, and this is good for us, this is good for advertisers, this is good for our future. Now, if you take a closer look at the ratings, which gives you an idea of just how powerful our programs are, in the top 100 of all types, of in every category, we were at the top. We got 99% of all entertainment. We were the 99 out of 100 best ratings, 97 for TV news, 93 for US series, 88 for French drama. For movies, for films, we're slightly down. It's true, fair enough. But French film is not as attractive in terms of ratings as it used to be. We had 54 movies in primetime. We took the number down together with Philippe. We decided to take the number down. But still, we are an unchallenged leader in all major categories, at least all where from entertainment to French films, or French drama, rather. We're top of the scale. Now, if we want to look at, of course, the news is not seen as a very powerful powerful program, but we had two new faces. Gilles Boulot, as you know, for many years, for 10 years about, was in Britain and the States, and Claire Coudray. So Gilles has been with us for 25 years, and Claire Coudray for 10 years or so. So they're both reporters, people who've who have great personal qualities, and they decided to take up the challenge to host the 8 o'clock news. And Claire, as Claire Chazal's understudy, or rather a substitute, and it's worked extremely well, both the 8 o'clock news and the 1 o'clock news. We were able to gather huge user audiences. You can see that the ratings in 2012 for the 8 o'clock news, the improvement between H1 and H2, and indeed, since January, February, we've had even better ratings. Now, if you compare 8 o'clock and the public television, we're looking at 2.2 or indeed 3 million viewers, 3 million more viewers than they have. I mean, of course, when we were coming from a low of 600,000 viewers, we've come a long way. Jean-Pierre Pernaut will celebrate 25 years of 1 o'clock news. Jean-Pierre Pernaut is still the unchallenged leader for 1 o'clock news, and he has also increased its differential with public television with France 2. And that, of course, is one of the critical aspects of the ratings of TF1, the fact that we are very healthy there, that we attract huge audiences in terms of the 1 o'clock or 8 o'clock news. This makes a big difference. If we look at our two channels, NT1 and TMC, TMC has a very moderate programming cost, number five in France, some of the 5 of the 10 best ratings in 2012, and as many as 800,000 viewers at any one time. And NT1 made a dramatic headway with the women under 50 increasing their shares, the audience shares by 13%, 40 programs with more than 1 million viewers, and 600,000 viewers at any one, in prime time. So TMC is more like a family-oriented channel, whereas NT1 is more intended for young adults. You can see that there's a good complementarity between the two channels. So all in all, if you look at the group as a whole, we're looking again back at 2012, the performance for all three channels is 28.4 for individuals 4 years or more, whereas a public service having four channels has 30 points, and M6 and W9 only 14 points. So, as I said, an unrivaled offer. And if you look at the latest numbers for ratings January through today, to today, 19 February, we're looking at 29.2 rather than 28.4. So we are up already, whereas M6 stands at 14.4, remains stable. So we've forged ahead. And if you look at the women targets, we stand at 30.9, whereas M6 was at 21. So we are ahead of public television. Of course, public television is stand at 28.4, so we are number one on free-to-air TV in France. Our latest in the family is HD1. Of course, you know its position. It's looking at drama. Now, a few weeks down the road, we can see that it's already found its audience. Now, like all other channels, its coverage is not as good, especially because Canal Sat will not distribute it, but its performances are looking at 0.4 in terms of ratings, and that means that it is it comes in goes hand in hand in what we already have on offer, and by looking or specializing on drama, we probably have found the right outlet. Now, digital TV, you know that since 2008 has been a major axis of development for TF1, and you can see that there are three types of digital TV. First, what I would refer to as a consumption TV, where you're looking at deferred consumption. What it is that through replays or through games and such like, you can generate revenue, but you can also have a constant contact with the audience. They can they have an opportunity to have what they want, when they want, where they want, and of course now all the content is available on all types of media, smartphones, tablets, as well as TV screens or computers. So that is something we've worked on, and it's done extremely well. The second and very promising development is interactive digital participation, instantaneous television, which means to say that in real time during a TV program, you can interact with other viewers or indeed with the show itself. We've got the example of The Voice, but that is part of the innovations with MyTF1 Connect, and along with many other innovations invented by our people. All this means that today, not only are we major partners with Facebook and Twitter, we have our own applications in symbiosis with our own program, and the reason we can do this is that our programs make this possible much more than other channels can do. And then the last aspect is what we call relational digital TV, what enables us to have a sort of customized relationship with consumers when advertising is being aired. In other words, when a consumer would like to know more, or a viewer would like to know more about what is being advertised, and so with the check-in or Shazam, using a click on the computer or on the iPhone, they can go deeper into the matter and have a more personal contact with the advertiser or whatever, at least no more. So all three aspects are very significant, and we are doing quite well. Let me just say that we had two awards. We had the best market footprint in 2012, and we just had the prize for best online customer relation for a TV channel, which goes to show that not only are we being followed by consumers and viewers, but recognized by the industry as well. And that, of course, is very good news. Now, for many years, we wondered whether we could be both modern and profitable. And, well, we were able to pull it off. You can see that in 2008 and 2009, this was not as promising as all that. But then we're looking at more than 100 million euros in additional revenue and 18.1 million in operational profit. So this means we're very confident in the potential of a digital TV. This means that more and more will be asked to go closer to the viewer, to the customers, and have a sort of a personal contact with customers. Now, Metro, the free newspaper, as you know, this was completely revamped, and it was a very successful revolution because Metro is the only paper that has a 100% reverse publishing. In other words, the editorial team, the 40 journalists, work for the web, and then the paper version, the printed version, is, as it were, best of the web newspaper, and you have 30 million people reading the printed version. And today we created a new format, which is much more user-friendly, and of course, in terms of editorial design, we have a broader geographic expansion with as much as 90% of the urban population covered. And we are, as I said, pioneers in reverse publishing, and the and digital publishing is growing at three digits. And we also have a news app on mobile, and that's and this is only the beginning. And so this new value in Metro was not just because of Metro itself, but because the advertising agency, TF1's advertising agency, can offer this other outlet, and this in itself is value creating for the group. Now, Eurosport International is in a way the star of the group. It's been doing extremely well, and its growth strategy has been forging ahead. If you look at revenue, a significant rise in advertising revenue, you should remember that back in 2008, during the Beijing Olympics, profitability stood at 8.5%. And of course, the games cost us quite a bit and degraded the financial performance. But looking at the London Olympics, of course, it still was an expensive operation, although not quite as expensive as Beijing. We can find that profitability, even though it was less than 2011, still remained high at 14.2, which is pretty damn good considering the huge event that it was. And you know that Eurosport and Discovery have a partnership going. Let me tell you what that agreement is all about. There are three aspects where we want to work together. Number one, of course, we are working on developing Eurosport's business. Yesterday we had board meetings where the head of Discovery was kind enough to attend the board meeting of Eurosport. There are real opportunities for mutual development, and the work done so far is extremely promising. Now, the second big area has been the development of pay TV content in France. The idea is to create the standard channel, the reference channel, and we're working again hand in hand with Discovery to see just what it is we could do to make us the number one reference. And then the third aspect is we're looking at Discovery's own production to try and see whether we can make content that could be shown on Discovery, so use our production teams. So that means that we will be that will be a major progress. And of course, we're working here on pay TV. This is a channel this is an area where we are looking to big developments. Now, there are other activities. You had some video progress. Foresti, Police, Intouchable were movies that sold well on the DVD. We have Mighty RTF1 VOD, video on demand, had a significant growth in revenue, up 66%, whereas the market only grew by 20%, which means that our own marketing policy was extremely effective. And then apart from the video on demand, we have a boutique, a little shop that is run by the MyTF1 people, so for merchandising and such like, so there were synergies developed right there with our cousin, our little relative, Bouygues Telecom. Have additional or to create new businesses, that's one thing, but we also had to work on restructuring the group. Now, that's not an easy matter. We told you we would do this, and we've done it. We've been as good as our word, and on TF1 video, we decided to outsource our sales force. We reorganized Kiosk, and we brought together the virtual and the, as it were, the material advertising, and so we were able to do all this. We were able to cut headcounts of TF1 video in half, which is not an easy thing to do. Cost us quite a bit, but we pulled our head out of the water. TF1 Entreprise, we have an assembly line in the southwest of France. That is being reorganized, and we are outsourcing that as well, the sales force for that. And then all our broadcasting and trailers will was used to be done in Nantes. Again, we will be subcontracting a bit of the post-production and trailers activities. So that means we are being able to spend less money on these things, to have a lower headcount. But it was we had to be very careful while doing this, but we were able to pull it off. Having said all that, I'll give the floor to Philippe. Philippe has something of a cold, and he's very brave because he will present the figures with a slight cough in his voice.
Thank you, Nance. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to tell you about TF1 Group's consolidated accounts for 2012. On TF1.fo, you will see the details of these accounts and indeed the accounts of the parent company, all available on our website. Beginning with consolidated revenue, well, Nance has commented it at some length already. It's stable, a comparison with last year at 2.61 billion. But for the second consecutive year, you'll see that the advertising from other supports and other media, and indeed the other activities, have together offset the downturn in TF1's advertising revenue. Now, the advertising revenue from the other supports, excluding TF1, were actually multiplied by 2, 186 to 373 million euros over the period. Programming costs now totaled 935.5 million euros, up 30 million euros on 2011. Now, the impact of sports events was neutral. This year we had the 2012 Euro for comparable cost to what we paid for the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup in the previous year. So 30 million, and in the first half of the year, this can be attributed to an increase in entertainment and games, with new investments made, particularly in the Voice, a program you're all familiar with. Also the daily program called Canteloup, a number of drama programs too. You know, in the first half of the year, we had a number of programs that were at the end of their rights. We had to review that at the end of the first quarter, which increases the 14 million increase in this type of a program. That's drama, movies, series, and theater. Slightly up in news, but remember, this is an electoral year, and of course, we also broadcast 5 films at an average cost that was down slightly on the previous period. More detailed look at the income statement, you'll see that total other charge of 1.32 billion, up 19.6 million on last year. Of these 19.6 19.6 million, you will find the cost of the Olympic Games. That's particularly for Eurosport, but also the cost of including in our scope of consolidation the new free newspaper Metro over part of the year. These were two non-recurring expenses, but buying that, our cost would have been down. Depreciation and amortization was down 24 million to 84 million, giving us current operating profit of 258 million, or an operating margin, if you prefer, 9.8% of revenue. That is down 1 percentage point on 2011. Operating profit totaled 210.4 million, and over the period, this includes restructuring costs for some 48 million euros. Let's now look at current operating profit by segment. What you'll see on this slide is that all our activities generated positive current operating profit, particularly in broadcasting and audiovisual rights, plus 3.2 million euros in 2012 after losses of 2011. You'll also see that TF1 Entreprise performed particularly well, as did ITF1, as already commented by Nance before me, and very good profitability on the part of Eurosport International, with a profitability, or profit margin if you prefer, of over 14%. As you know, we have entered phase two of our optimization plan. This phase two is aimed at two main goals: to reduce costs, and of course to create greater flexibility in our business model. Now, we've three levers at our disposal. The first of this is optimization of programming costs. In 2012, we achieved 8 million euros in recurring savings on operating costs, or programming costs rather, productivity gains as well as the second lever, and I'll come back to that in a second when I talk about 2013 and 14. And the third lever is a reduction of overheads. In 2012, we saved 7 million euros out of the total target of 85 million spanning the plan. We've already achieved 15 million in 2012 out of the total of 85, despite the difficult environment. Well, we've decided to step up the implementation of phase two. Of the 70 million remaining to be achieved in recurrent savings, 32 million will concern programming costs, 28 will concern productivity, and 10 million will concern overheads. Now, I'll avoid anticipate questions. I'm not going to show you what will be done in 2013 and what will be achieved in 2014. We still have our work cut out before determining how exactly we're going to accelerate implementation of phase two, but it's well underway. As for the consolidated income statement, I'm not going to talk about the cost of net debt because the group is completely debt-free as we talk. Other financial income and expenses totaled 5.8 million, no great change over last year. Income tax was down. This was due to our lesser level of operating income. And the share of profits, or losses in this instance associates, was 6.4 million, down considerably on 2011. And this was mainly due to the fact that last year, in this item, we included a depreciation of the securities in Metro France. So net profit of 139.3 million, down 25.1%. As for the consolidated balance sheet, the total of the balance sheet was 3.617 billion. That's up 263 million euros. Now, just an observation about this balance sheet. It's the impact of the disposal of Eurosport and a number of pay channels. In fact, 20% of these two groups, the two Discovery Communications. Now, on this has an impact on cash and, of course, an impact on shareholders' equity because we have a capital gain due to the disposal of our participation and minority interests, of course, which we have included under liabilities, on the liability side of... So a negative impact on the balance sheet, which nonetheless improved our cash situation over the period because, as you can see, in 2012 we improved our cash situation by 276 million euros. A substantial amount of this being due to the disposal of the our 20% stake in Eurosport and others. Consolidated cash flow statement, 277 million operating cash flow. This is down, as was our operating income. Income tax, €102 million. Changes in working capital requirements, total €87.6 million. That's a substantial improvement on the previous year, brought about by better cash management within the group. So, net cash flow generated by operating activities up €70 million the previous year to €262 million. Net cash flow generated by investing activities, €58 million negative. That's used. Remember that last year we bought the southern wing of the building we're in today. So this was a real estate transaction that did not exist this year, which is why on a normalized basis we were at a normalized level of investment in 2012. Finally, net cash generated by financing activities improved by €220 million thanks to the disposal to Discovery Communications of our 20% stake in Eurosport and in the pay channels. A total change in cash position over the year of €273 million. Finally, the group's financial structure is particularly strong, a very healthy balance sheet, because we have covenant-free facilities of over €2.4 billion, also a positive cash situation at the end of the year of €236.3 million. That's it for the financial statements, and I give back the floor to Nors to say a few words about the outlook. Now, the first thing I'll say about the outlook is what we'll be proposing to the AGM, and we'll be proposing to maintain the dividend at 55 cents of a euro. This, of course, increases in terms of yield. In fact, in some extents, it looks like an exceptional dividend insofar as we will be distributing more than our capacity would normally have authorized to do if we had maintained the 64% payout ratio that we applied last year. So from that point of view, I think it was only fair that our shareholders reaped some of the benefits. This brings me to 2013 and 14. Now, there's no hiding behind the fact. 2013 and 14 will be difficult years, but years that we are going to embark upon with great determination. I'm going to give you some of our short to medium term solutions for our businesses. Well, the first idea is to build a new Freeview offer model. The second idea is to continue to grow the consumer offer. And finally, to strengthen our pay offer while sharpening our competitive edge. But I think Philippe has already mentioned that. Beginning with our Freeview offer, we're going to work towards increasingly towards a new model that will make the TF1 channel a very, very important component of the group's economics. First of all, we're going to have to continue to reinforce group audience ratings. TF1 should remain at a very high level of ratings. But this will also be a role entrusted to the other channels in the group to continue, as I say, to reinforce our strong audience ratings. From that point of view, we're going to need new winning programs and, of course, strengthen the complementarity fit of our positionings. In the same way that we must step up synergies between group channels, by that I mean that these are channels that must lay in supplies of TF1 programs. That's a priority. However, we must constantly ensure that a particular deal or transaction can also contribute to all our channels. But that simply means that we will optimize the way we manage the rights. But of course, the central thing for the group is really TF1, because as you will see, TF1 has an impact on all the group's activities. So I think if we can increase its sphere of influence, this would really not just enhance its status, but it would certainly improve our economics. So in this new model, upstream of the channels to begin with, upstream of the channels we will continue to develop our in-house production. We will continue to invest in innovative formats alone or in the form of partnerships. Dancing with the Stars is a BBC format that we jointly operate with TF1 production. We will also optimize cross-media purchasing. There was a time we used to buy for TF1 alone. Now we're buying for all sorts of digital media as well. We'll also build on our agreement with the UGC in the field of cinema, a very, very important agreement that enables us to share risk on the one hand, but also ensures that in terms of distribution, we have a major distributor alongside us. And of course, in cinema, we'll also be selecting high-performance films at a reasonable price. There's been a lot of talk about cinema recently, but our strategy is a value strategy, but a strategy of value that we will share with the producers. The upshot of all that is that downstream of channels, we must maintain the value of our ad slots. And at this point in time, we're working at it to keep ourselves ahead of the rest of the pack, to stay ahead of our competitors. And it's probably this way that we will develop. So we must provide our advertisers with increasingly global services by strengthening synergies between mass media and one-to-one synergies, to take on advertising for new media as well. We've seen that with customer relations. The fact that we have diversified media can be very advantageous. And of course, finally, we're going to have to step up our digital expansion. I'd be inclined to say that up to very recently, the audience generated a single revenue source on programming costs had to be made profitable by comparison with our advertising revenue. Well, times have changed, and we're also generating for the sources of revenue, and I think programming costs have to be appraised on a broader basis, because TF1 is really at the heart of a much broader based ecosystem. We must keep our programming costs under control. Philippe mentioned them to you, but with Jean-François Nancier and our people, we're very watchful of this to ensure that we produce the programs at the right price. But it's true that our sources of revenue are much broader based than they were before. If I can just take an example of a good success story. If we take The Voice, you see that The Voice is having an impact on a whole series of other areas, on replays, second screens, second screen innovation, social TV, social networks. And this is only the third evening, but we have 15,000 videos seen, almost 4 million the first evening, which is huge for catch-up in terms of social networks, 1.3 million tweets during the first two programs, which making them the most tweeted programs in France and even worldwide for a brief period of time. 237,000 fans on Facebook, and interactivity was €1.3 million in interactivity revenue over the first two showings of The Voice. And I could go on and on and mention the 561,000 visits on tablets. We talk about brand licenses as well, with our €380,000 in revenue for the license. We're also getting ready for The Voice 2, and there are 130,000 tickets on sale, and of course the sales have been progressing very, very well. So beginning with a TF1 program, we are generating additional revenue through additional sources, creating a whole buzz around the program, which not just anchors the program itself in the television experience of our consumers, but it also generates additional income. This is the way I think we should design our programs in the future, and this is the type of economics we must bear in mind when designing future programs. So the second area is to grow the consumer offer. Let me elaborate on that. This consists in dealing directly with the viewers who become consumers. You know that our viewers are more and more connected. They use more and more mobile devices, and I'm sure you're all good examples of that. Screens are becoming increasingly complementary and echoing one another. My TV connecting with The Voice, and there's more and more demand on the part of viewers to take part in the content of programs, even to take part in the running of programs. The second thing I'll say is that advertisers have stronger targeting objectives. First of all, they need to have better knowledge of customers. This is a cause of great concern. They usually do this themselves, but they would also like to get feedback from elsewhere. They also want to reach out to customers more directly. The key word is disintermediation. And of course, they are looking for more personalized, customized contact. As for technology, well, we'll have more and more interactivity thanks to the potential of tablets and, of course, the emergence of mobile first, because increasingly so, it's on mobile phones that these new technologies will be applied. So, given the situation, which is changing constantly, we have a number of commercial advantages, a number of commercial strengths. The first of these is that our offer is very much a revolution. Our programs are now fully 360. We're currently creating 2.0 services in Freeview and pay TV. My TF1 is a good example of that. We also have an interactive offer, which is the foremost in the whole of all social media networks in France, which by boomerang effect means that we have a much more direct relationship, much more permanent relationship with viewers. We have very strong brands, and as you know, in this congested landscape, the brands is a great way of establishing yourself. There's also the whole series of derivative products and merchandising around these brands. Finally, we have an increasing number of contacts and more targeted contacts than in the past. So as you know, the contact qualification must become operational. We're working on that. We need to set up qualified customer bases, but there's also the fact that we can relate directly to customers, mean that there's all sorts of promises that we can make and keep, but also in terms of communicating directly with viewers. And this is, of course, a great advantage for our advertisers. So our expertise is on the increase. In the light of that, we believe that we will soon be able to make available a unique system, be it through screens, PCs, tablets, or mobile phones, whatever the type of screen. You'll see by way of our content, by way of our digital TV, VOD, home shopping, publishing, viewer services, and so on. These are all forms of direct contact with the viewers and that enable us to feed qualified databases. We also have an ad agency, which, be it through television and replay or interactivity, Puissance 5, as we call it, is the idea of putting out programs on all these screens. And of course, the brand channels also reach out to consumers and enable us to set up databases of contact that advertisers will be increasingly eager to avail of. So we want to combine this with our firepower, if I may say that, with direct contacts. So platforms with huge potential are emerging. At the second part of our roadmap and the second way we plan to develop over the period, the third of these is to strengthen our pay offer, our pay TV offer. Well, first of all, I'm talking about pay channels in France. I mentioned this before, and with our with Discovery Communications, we have a partnership with Ushuaïa, Histoire, Cilia, TV Brège, and of course Eurosport. But the project is to extend this offering with channels that are relevant to Discovery Communications. These are, remember, this is a market where Discovery only has two channels. But there is potential here that can be developed in the French market. Also, if we can reinforce our programming, we could put out a very, very competitive offer in the French market. This is something we've started to look into, to explore, because in 2014, I think all operators will be renegotiating their contracts with the content providers, and of course the idea will be to have the most attractive offer on the market. Second area, synergies between Eurosport and Discovery. As you know, this partnership is based on three things. First of all, synergy in the field of distribution, and we set up a joint venture in January of this year to look at proposals either together or separately, the goal being to improve the shared proposal for a global offer and to be have a greater attractiveness for platforms the world over. The second component is advertising. As you know, Eurosport is an expert in pan-European advertising. Discovery Communications is expert in local communication, local advertising. Here we feel that there's a lot to be done with shared marketing or joint marketing. Of course, this is an area we will be tapping into. Finally, there are new territories to be explored. Discovery is present in 217 Eurosport in 70 different territories. Obviously, this will engage a lot of money to, but if we can do it on the back of Discovery's existing operations, that will be an awful lot easier. We believe that there's a lot can be done with Discovery. And of course, this may enable us to negotiate rights a lot better, possibly with a new channel. We tend to be very creative in that area, and there are quite a few projects in the offing. There are a lot of talks ongoing at the moment, so here I feel that we could continue and to expand Eurosport's growth with an offer that won't necessarily be a premium offer. This could be a, what we call it, not premium, but a medium offer, a very attractive one nonetheless. I think there are all sorts of ideas that give us good reason to believe that this is going to be a very promising partnership. If I could sum all that up, well, we have three main areas of business. First of all, free services. Free services is all about television channels, the group's television channels, but also the advertising agency which from which we derive revenue. And of course, there's also Metro, which plays a role, and of course, the digital. Now, we also have consumer pay services, in publishing games, licenses, video on video demand, music shows, home shopping, and e-tailing. And of course, we have pay services aimed at operators that I just mentioned. That's pay TV in France internationally. So the group has undergone a deep transformation. And the reason it's undergone this transformation is that our initial rationale was that the market is undergoing a deep change. We're fortunate in that the our programming costs are continuing to improve, that more and more households have these new forms of technology, these new screens, which gives us greater opportunity to have more contact with them. So our great strength, and let's not be modest about it, is that we have undeniably got expertise from right up to digital and interactivity. We know how to add value to our programs. We are, I believe, the French channel, the intelligent channel that adds most of value to its production and programs. We are acknowledged as a market leader that has been reasserted, and a very healthy financial structure, as Philippe told you. So we have the strengths. We can roll out content across all media. We're open to partnerships. Discovery Communications is a good example. UGC is another, Paramount, in terms of video distribution. And why not other partnerships? And of course, we're currently inventing a new model that is being rolled out through strong brands. So I feel that we are in a very good position, a very interesting position, where we have innovative and cross-media business offers that we didn't have another year, a few years ago. The targets are very broad-based. Viewers who have become consumers, web users, mobile users, but the targets also include advertisers and distributors. So I'd be inclined to say that our group is very well positioned. All that remains for us to do is to materialize all this in the months to come. That's going to be the big challenge. So, okay, you may well ask, what about the revenue prospects for 2013? Well, you'll have read this in the press release. This will nonetheless leave us with consolidated revenue down fractionally on the figure for 2012. Now, we are working hard to improve this figure, but the reality is such that the global economy may be performing well in certain areas, but not in Europe. In France, the outlook is very uncertain, if not poor. There's very little visibility. Now, sure, the first quarter isn't going to be the same throughout the rest of the year. I think a lot of people are wondering about how the economy and consumption will fare in France, but as we talk, I think our visibility is even less than it has been in recent months and quarters. So potential decline in consolidated revenue, we can deplore this, we can, well, our share price might suffer, we may fail, but whatever, we're not going to take that sitting down. We have two types of solutions, a short-term and a medium-term solution. The short-term solutions, first of all, our top priority will be to soften the blow of the economic environment, and we're working on four areas here. One that Philippe mentioned, that's to accelerate the implementation of our optimization plan. It's not easy, but tomorrow we have an executive committee meeting where we'll be working with the executive committee members to see in what areas we can accelerate this optimization plan. We'll see how the advertising agency can adapt its prices to the market. I'm talking about prices, not discounts. We have to be increasingly selective in the way we choose our programs and in our investments, of course. You've seen that in programs we have bowed out of Formula One, which was losing viewer ratings and didn't have any great advantage for us. Finally, we have teams that are very committed, that are determined to get us through this period of 2013 and 2014. This means that we're going to have to continue to cultivate our strengths. We're not going to take it sitting down, as I said. So first of all, we're not going to lower our guard in terms of audience. We'll continue to strengthen the synergies, greater synergies internally and externally, between the channels, between the program teams, and of course, alongside our partners as well. We must continue to develop. Remember that 2009, which was our worst year on record, it was in 2009 that we founded today's TF1, the diversification and all the new activities that we have now that are gathering pace, they were all thought up and launched in 2009. So in these difficult times, we must continue to develop with our customary caution. We will, of course, capitalize on our partnerships, and as you know, I have our management tightened around a very experienced executive committee which will lead the way forward and help us make the right choices. If I were to have a slogan, I'd say it's all about dealing head on with the present while preparing for the future. First of all, our market's going to change. The market will change, and my assumption is that fragmentation will stabilize, quite simply because digital terrestrial television were, I think, really helped by the fact that the coverage gradually extending. And this is why region by region DTT was gathering pace. That's no longer the case, I think, with the six new channels. The six new channels are all challengers. It'll be up to them to find a slot for themselves. And as you know, since last September, it's not TF1 that's been cannibalized, it's our competitors who are affected by newcomers. So I think the leadership premium will remain increasingly attractive. This we've seen in the US after something of a trough, but there is definitely a leadership premium here in France. With 23 points in ratings, we are unique in Europe. Only the BBC, with close to 21, is within a few lengths of us, but the other market leaders tend to be around the 16 or 18 point mark, even below them. From the regulatory point of view, I wouldn't like to give you the feeling that it's going to be all rosy. What I will say is that there are a number of members of parliament and a number of producers who are aware of the fact that French regulations have become shackles, really, in this economic environment, and that they will have to be improved upon. There are a number of parts to explore, and we could possibly have good news down the road. Social TV is being confirmed as a growth driver. As I said, we are well positioned. Delinearization will certainly benefit the most innovative, of whom I believe we are one, and of course it'll be demand will be increasingly multi-screen, multi-use, and of course advertising investment will concentrate on 360 degree groups. We must be in the one-to-one as in the mass media. This will be the key to our commercial success. To conclude, I'd say very sincerely, and I hope you'll agree with me, very sincerely, that the group must endow itself with the means to bounce back. It's not that we've hit rock bottom, far from it. We are in a good position. However, I think the group will bounce back because our leadership will be further strengthened between now and 2015. Remember that TMC MT1 will be operated by our advertising agency, likewise HD1, and the other channels that the advertising agency will be marketing them. This will give us unique market value, will be a must-have. Our leading multi-screen, multi-use strategy will be a winning strategy. Our strong position in social and non-linear TV, this is a goal, and a goal that we intend to achieve. Our multi-channel business will be increasingly 360 degrees. Our partnerships are blossoming, and if we have more partnerships, I hope they will blossom just as well. Our ability to innovate must be constant. This is something we're doing day in, day out. It's true of the news, it's true of our programs, it's true of our diversification, it's true of our digital business. We are constantly seeking out new ways and means of communicating, as well as new businesses. Our processes and management must be increasingly efficient. This is a goal we are constantly setting ourselves, and most importantly, pragmatism and anticipation must be our dogma. Our only dogma is to meet the market's demands and requirements. Our only goal is to satisfy our clients, be they advertisers, viewers. That is our first and foremost goal. If we can reach that ambition, then the future ahead of us will be a very, very interesting future. Let me say it once again, the channels are at the heart, the very heart of a new ecosystem, and it's on this ecosystem that we are working hammer and tongs. Very, very good performance, and I can assure you that that is a commitment, a promise I'm making here. Our performance will be even better in the years to come. Philippe and I might have to say to you regarding 2012. We'll be very happy to take all your questions. Philippe will take the technical questions. I'll answer the philosophical questions. Philippe is the man. He's our head of finance. Answer you on the short, medium, or even long term if we can. Thank you for being patient and listening to us. Time for questions, if you would, and we'll wait for a microphone for all questions, please.
I don't know who raised their hands first. Well, let's take the first person who comes along. My name is Gilbert Dupont. I have three questions for you. Number one, the cash position. I'm not quite sure I see eye to eye on the exceptional payout, on the exceptional dividend, because 55 centimes is not all that much. But what are your capital expenditure plans for the medium term? As you know, M6 has just realized that it was necessarily a good idea to keep lots of unused cash, and you have something like 1.1 billion worth of credit lines. Was it really necessary to keep 200 million euros in cash? That was question number one. Second question, there's a word you haven't mentioned, LCI, your news channel. I think that's the only loss-making, loss center, as it were, and it's the only pay TV channel together with Discovery. What's the outlook for LCI? And then will be additional restructuring costs in 2013?
I think you're a little bit harsh with this on the regarding the dividend. I think it's good news for our shareholders. Admittedly, it's not an exceptional dividend, but it was a long time before M6 started paying out exceptional dividends. So we're not alone. Nonetheless, given the year we had in 2012 and given the way we've maintained 55 cents, I think it's what, 29 million euros, Philippe, that we have decided to pay out from what we received from Discovery. I think it's okay. But next question on what we're going to do with this cash. The idea is not to rid ourselves of Eurosport. Let's be very clear about that. If we wanted to get rid of Eurosport, we would auction it off, and the highest bidder would get Eurosport. But we are very, very confident about Eurosport's future. However, to develop it even better, Discovery came to see us and made us some very interesting proposals. Now, as you know, these proposals aren't just limited to the acquisition of a stake. Their goal is to build up their stake to 51% over 2 years. We'll see what we do with all this money. We have projects, but we're going to develop cautiously. Your second question was LCI. Now, LCI couldn't be included in the deal with Discovery for the simple reason that LCI is a news channel. And the news channel didn't sit with the type of scope that Discovery was interested in. So this is part of our news channels. As for the future of LCI, as you know, LCI has 2 years ahead of it. It is actually the only activity in the group with Eurosport that has foreseeable revenue over the next 2 years through subscriptions. Okay. LCI did make a loss, the equivalent of our programming costs on DTT pay channels, which is incredible. I'm working with Catherine Nell and Eric Rebel on the definition of a new business model for LCI. So we have 18 months ahead of us to come up with clever solutions. With Martin, we're very, very attached to LCI, which has demonstrated great innovation. It's done a lot for the group in terms of editorial content and in terms of the energy of the people working at LCI, so we have no great concerns. Your final question concerned restructuring. There will probably be some restructuring costs, not necessarily comparable with the levels we had last year, but there are still a number of projects underway. We need to accelerate our optimization plan, so we're working on that in great detail to see how exactly we do it. I think the cash situation is being very severe with this LCI. Well, we're working on it, but we are very intent on making it successful. Of course, it would not sit within the scope of our deal with Discovery. Finally, restructuring costs. Yes, there may be some restructuring costs again, but not as high as last year.
Three questions. Colin Schell from Kepler. Number one, your savings. You announced 85 million savings before the non-renewal of the audiovisual rights for F1. That's enabled you to save as much as 30 million a year. You have not reviewed upwards that cost-cutting plan, your cost-savings plan. Can you explain this? Is it, I mean, you're saying on the one hand that you want to accelerate the optimization plan. How does that square with that? Now, second question, your investment on the programming on the three feet of you, GMC, NT1, and NTF1 in the 3 years to come, and what is planned for Eurosport in 2013? And the third question on the the consolidation of the 6.5 million loss, what is that? The affiliated companies, well, what exactly is it?
I'll let Philippe answer that question about the equities or the associates. Okay, regarding our savings program, we've always said that we're not prepared to pay Formula One the price we'd paid it before, and so we set ourselves a price which we built into our optimization plan. We probably didn't pay or offer enough for Formula One. But when we defined our optimization program, we built in an even lower price. Now, we need programs to replace Formula One racing, but this means that we're going to have to reinvest. As Nance pointed out, we're going to have to invest to keep our audience ratings up. So this optimization program, when it was announced, already included Formula One at a significantly lower price, or no Formula One at all, but reinvesting in other programs in 2013 and 14. Regarding the 6.5 million in entities consolidated by the equity method, first of all, an investment in a company in Belgium, from which we have divested. And for the very last time, we booked a loss. It was WTV Belgium, which we will be exiting in the first half of this year. Finally, there is our share of losses in a business starting up in e-commerce. This is called Direct Optic, a business that generated losses as anticipated. Concerning programming costs, well, you know this is an ongoing concern of ours. If we take TMC NT1, programming costs are well under control and well below the programming costs of our competitors. So in that respect, it's true that the arrival of G8 or the ramp-up of Energy 12 or W9 are factors that we have to take account of. However, I have a forecast. You know, if we were to get involved in any huge expenditure, you know, every additional percentage point costs a fortune. So we're not going to overspend. We'll be very, very reasonable in terms of programming costs. We may have one or two additional innovative programs, but this is something that's well under control. And insofar as we are fortunate to be able to dip into a whole portfolio of rights, this is something that our competitors can't do. Now, when we go from pay TV to Freeview, they don't always work the same programs, and of course this can give rise to a number of strategic issues for our competitors. So we're going to try and stay within the sites we've set ourselves to ensure that TMC and NT1 remain as popular as we want, to keep this under control. We've already made a number of announcements and we'll keep those promises. May I remind you that programming costs must be put into the prospect of a global economy. We have applications on programs that are costly but that generate a lot of advertising revenue, but indeed ancillary revenue. And it's up to us to manage this strategy in such a way that we make the right investment each time with the right return on investment. As always, we will take a responsible approach. Frankly, our competitors who achieve great success achieve it at a cost that I think is too high, but that's my view. Micro is coming along.
My name is Julien Rossi from Morgan Stanley. I have three questions. Number one, you mentioned the price pressure, which is like the new standard. Can you tell us more about this as the year begins, or is there, well, there's the D8 effect that started at the end of last year, but probably D8 in particular, but other channels as well. The second question in line with the first one, could you, do you have any idea of to what extent the TV market will become mature, that is, as the new six new channels are emerging, will their effect sort of level off over the next few years? On the cash position now, the third question, you have a fine pay TV sort of offer, which might be taken over by Discovery. Now, apart from that, is there another type of pay TV you would like to develop at TF1 over the next 2 years? We know that competitors have been successful with digital TV. That's the sort of thing you could do. And then a more technical point, it seems to me that the disposal of yourselves to Discovery will have a dilutive effect on EPS. Is that a concern for you?
Well, as things stand, I lose sleep every night, but that's because I'm a chairman of a media group. Okay, first of all, pressure on prices. Well, D8 is part of the group of newcomers, but it's not D8 that's driving prices down. It's a whole series of factors. Advertisers are in a difficult economic situation. There's more supply than demand, and there are a number of players in the market that have driven prices down by offering prices at the price of DTT. So it's a downward spiral that we believe to be completely unreasonable. So I don't know if we want to buy market share, certainly, but at what price? That's the real issue. I think the best form of protection of our value is to keep a very high level of audience ratings on our main channel. And if, as for our DTT channels, well, let's say our smaller channels, the idea is to ensure that their programs are programs of very good value. That's really the job. Now, as the prices are being hammered, you may well ask, well, the first quarter will be poor, and it will be poor, it might even be very poor. Fine. But there's more to a year than a quarter. And in fact, the future of a company hinges on much more than one quarter. I think a lot of people have very unreasonable strategies. We are doing our best to be as reasonable as possible with a product of very high quality, one that we will be defending. But we also need customers. So this is the trade-off. As for the impact in terms of additional audience or the impact of the six new channels, well, I suppose the real issue is who's going to cannibalize whom. Cannibalization hasn't eaten into our ratings. I'm not saying we can stay above the 23 mark for the next 10 or 15 years. What I do know, however, is that TF1 is the only channel that's been improving over the last 6 months. Only the historic channels. Others have increased, but at rating levels that are much lower than ours. So we are the only channel to have progressed. We're the only channel offering programs to 8 and 9 million viewers. 3.5-4 million is a big success. So we are talking about very, very different orders of magnitude. And this is a value that the market acknowledges. And of course, it's much more difficult to sell because of the economic situation, because of the price war, because of the difficulties our advertisers have. That said, this is very, very strong value in people's minds, and I have no doubts whatsoever about our ability to uphold that value. Now, it's going to be a battle. So what's going to happen with the six new channels? Well, I think they will cannibalize one another. With HD1, we've taken a very original position in terms of the drama, aimed at a mixed audience, with the programs of good quality, and particularly a prime time. Now, this is an option that's very different to the idea of other channels, which is really aimed at women of over 50 who do the purchasing. So, okay, an interesting target, but very clearly there's a much broader-based target than shoppers of over 50. Outside of that particular target group, we're not cannibalizing in any way TF1 on the country. So I think we have additional value and goodwill that it will be easy to defend. But compared with the new channels, I believe that we have a lot of leeway in terms of ratings. Your question on cash, I'm completely incompetent. Philippe, would you like to answer that question on cash? I'm not even sure I understood the question. No, the dilutive effect of selling a 20% stake in Eurosport is something that we realize. Well, not losing sleep over that. I'm not saying I'm sleeping any better for that. It wouldn't be a good enough reason. What I can say, though, is that the cash, as Nors has said, the cash should normally be used to develop the group's activities in the years to come. Some of this cash will be used to develop and expand the group on the basis of scenarios and our partnership with Discovery. And we'll see, we'll adjust our policy depending on how this partnership rolls out, but our policy is not one of accumulating cash for the sake of accumulating cash. We're in the current situation, and to have the means to develop the group in the years to come, as Nors has said, we are keen to have a very strong financial position. That's it. And may I add, by the way, that if we have in the past and are continuing to buy back shares when the market is conducive.
Good evening, Charles Begwell from BNP Paribas. Several questions. You mentioned this 360 strategy. What does it bring in? Is it more volume or negotiated prices or arrangements with partners, that sort of thing? I mean, in terms of revenue. The drama line is up, and you're not, I mean, the compulsory percentage of French drama has come down. So why do you show more drama when you don't have to? Is that part of the optimization plan? You said the first quarter might be very poor indeed. Could you be more, I mean, what's the comparison? How would it compare with Q1, Q2, Q3 2012? I mean, so that we can sleep at night as well. To know just how bad Q1 2013 will be. And then finally, your pricing policies. Is this to say that TF1 is prepared to let a quarter or two go down, but not bring prices down and play its leadership role even more than in the past?
Now, that's an interesting question. I remember the first quarter of 2009 when our revenue fell 27%. I'd be inclined to say that you all came down like a ton of bricks on me. Oh, what's happened? How can you possibly lose that much revenue? So the debates we have with the ad agency at the moment, and people here can bear witness to that, but the discussion we have ongoing with the ad agency is how do we defend the value of an audience as good as ours in an environment that is as bad as this. So do we let clients go, or do we keep them with us on board at TF1 to ensure that when the situation improves, we will have this same client at better prices, because we and they will agree that the circumstances have changed. So what we're we're doing is we're reconsidering prices, we're adjusting prices to curtail this downward spiral of discount and more discount. If we keep slashing prices, not just TF1, we will end up in a position that's going to be very hazardous. It's true that the situation is not good, the economy is faring very poorly. In fact, I can't think of a single sector of industry that's doing particularly well. Television still has its fans. We still have 28 million people in France who watch television, and the TF1 has almost a quarter of this viewership, sometimes a lot more than that in prime time. So we have our strengths, and we have to manage our advertisers' requests, the pressure from our competitors who are slashing prices, and the goal of generating revenue at the end. So it's a difficult equation. We believe it's a temporary situation. We didn't have to the same extent in 2010 or 11. We had that more so in 2009. Of course, difficult economic times make for bad habits, but the real question is this going to have a negative impact on the future? Some people claim that if you cut prices, you'll never get them back up again, but that's not quite true, especially when you have a product of very high quality. So by comparison with the quarters of last year, I would say that the first quarter of this year, as far as we can see, will be even worse than Q3, which was a very poor quarter. So this is a very difficult period for us. However, it's only the first quarter. You've seen the government's forecasts. One day it's 0.8% growth, and the next day there's no growth at all on the radar. So we're in a situation where everybody's asking about how the year is going to flesh out, how it's going to pan out. We are striving to satisfy our clients. We're striving to sell at a reasonable price, but it's a fierce battle. We're not necessarily yielding what can be yielded. I know it can be very tempting to slash prices, but it's not a reasonable thing to do. The market is currently unreasonable. Today and now, I'm not saying it will always be unreasonable, but as things stand, it's unreasonable. Now, you have a question about fiction costs or drama costs. Now, this is going to be one of the important talks we'll be having with professionals in the months to come. It so happens that there are new forms of drama emerging, very shorter forms of drama, like our neighbours. It's a completely new set of economics. Of course, production costs are lower. This is a drama that can be extremely successful for our neighbours. It's 5.5 million before the news, with a score that's been as high as 9 million viewers after the news. This is a path that a number of our competitors have explored. We're at a very high level with Celle de Ménage. Contre l'eau is another example, another type of drama, because we also count it under our obligations. This raises the whole question of what our commitments should be and how high they should be. What happened last year in particular is that because of the regulations, we had drama that hadn't been broadcast on TF1 since 2007. This is because at the time, the heads of TF1 didn't felt these were types of drama that didn't have enough clout. We have to be the first to broadcast. We don't have to rebroadcast. But the first broadcasting is absolutely indispensable. This Philippe can comment in greater detail. We have had to do first screens during the day, at times of the day, when revenue has nothing to do with the cost of producing this drama, which I think will go some way to explaining the situation. No, I'm not going to add, I'll just confirm two things. First of all, the increase in drama costs over the year is strictly because of the broadcasting of programs at the end of their rights period. The second thing I'll say is that, as we told you in the past, 2012 comes at the end of a cycle in which we invested considerably in drama, because this has an impact on our advertising revenue at TF1. I'm sure you'll have noticed that revenue was down, so the amount we were prepared to invest in drama was also down. As a result, the overall cost of drama should actually decrease over the period starting in 2013, and in the longer term, we expect the situation to pick up as fees and revenue increase, hopefully in 2014 or 15. Since 2009, we have been entitled to revenue from the sale of the drama that we produce and finance. For example, the drama we produced with Luc Besson called No Limite, very, very successful. We have the international distribution license. This is something that was of immediate interest to foreign television channels. And to be complete here, in terms of drama, we have two productions underway. One is in the post-production phase, the other is not quite there yet. One with Jean Reno as main actor, which was filmed in English, though filmed in France. It's called Jour le Grand. Six episodes, 52 minutes long each. We're currently working on the final touches of Crossing Lines with Marc Lavoine and Donald Sutherland. Again, a drama series that has considerable international potential. So we'll be trying to develop this type of fiction. We're looking at effects on the slot. We're looking at second screens, and with Luc Besson, that's quite conceivable, particularly when replay, DVDs are on the international market. So we need signatures, we need well-known actors, we need international co-productions, but not old style, you know, an Italian, a Spanish, a Turkish actor, and when you have a co-production with these countries. But no, on the contrary, we need casts that are decided by France, who France will lead co-production, but of interest to other television channels and in other territories. So our strategy has changed, but French drama is an important issue in terms of obligations, in terms of broadcasting, but in terms of creation too. This is where we need to improve with the our producers. Maybe one last question. I know it's 8 o'clock. You're going to miss the news if you're not careful. You could always watch the replay. No, I don't see as a hand. We do.
From BFM Business, I have a couple of brief questions regarding headcount. Will headcount come down in 2012, apart from the layoffs in Metro? And Lully, I read that you might be interested in buying that. And you said that you may not need to reappoint, to appoint a new CEO. Where did you read this? In Le Figaro, maybe.
Our French journalists have extraordinary imaginations. Look, Gulli, let's begin with Gulli. We all ask ourselves, who at our management committee would buy Gulli? So we didn't table an offer for Gulli. We have that frequency, and there's no question of investing in any other frequency band as things stand. I don't know who's going to buy Gulli. It'd be that Donald Leven felt €100 million was unreasonable. I'd like him to look at what Canal paid for D7 and D8. He'll see what DTT channels cost, but that's not on our radar at all, Gulli. A second answer. There were a lot of rumors about me standing down. Well, no, I'm not going to stand down. I know that will disappoint some of my colleagues, maybe even the journalists and possibly even the analysts. But no, there is no CEO standing in the sidelines. We have an executive committee, and over and beyond the COMEX or executive committee, we have very good managers. I will continue to lead this company through the difficult market of the next few years, provided the AGM ratifies the board's proposal. As for headcount, yes. Headcount was down in 2012. I don't know if we have a figure we could quote. I have a figure. We reduced headcount by a net 140. Now, if we're going to talk about headcount, maybe maybe I should say there are a number of other layoffs in the offing. That's not in the figures at the end of December. That's simply to confirmation. So we're not particularly pleased about the fact that we're reducing headcount, but it's something that hasn't been easy to do. But as you have seen, we have done the best we can from a social point of view in each and every situation. This decrease in headcount was largely due to the decision to freeze hiring, in other words, not to replace people leaving the group, and the number of departures increased in the second half year, as you probably saw. You don't be patient. We you'll see. It's 4 minutes after eight. You're really going to miss the news. Thank you all for your attention. And bear in mind that if 2013 is difficult, and it might, we will know how to manage the company very well, not just this year, but in the years to come as well. Thank you.